AfterBuzzers, death has arrived early, or has it? Your Harlot After Show starts next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. We have a survivor this week, guys.
It's not me. This episode did not help me survive at all. I was on pins and needles.
Stressed. So stressed.
Listen, I love this show, though. I really, now that I, like, know all the characters.
Yeah. And
just, you know, I know it's season two, but, like, we really got to know the characters this season, I feel.
Yeah, like, you're really immersed in it now.
Absolutely. I'm all in.
Yes.
Hey, guys, Linda Antwi here. Welcome. And my co-host.
What's up, guys? It's Marielle Turner.
Let's just jump in. First of all, overall thoughts of this episode.
Very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Very dark. And of course, there's a shocker that we had at the end. I did not see that coming at all. So I was just kind of blown away by the twists and turns.
There's a lot of twists and turns. And I feel like I know that we've said this before, but these last few episodes, they're just packing on,
yes,
in the action, the drama, the, like, OMG moments.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But let's talk first about Margaret, Nance, and Will.
Okay.
So we open with Margaret. She's in jail. Nance comes to see her. Will comes to see her. What did you think of that whole, like, everything that was going on there?
I thought it was kind of sad. And I think she was very much accepting of what she, you know, she knew what she was doing when she walked in there and confessed, and she knew what was going to happen, mm-hmm, and she knew her place. And I think her family was still very much like, hey, no, we need you, and, like, there must be another way. Mm-hmm. And I know Will made a comment about their son, mm-hmm, and how he still needs her. So it was just, it was really sad to see that how emotional they were.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she thought she was going to be the sacrificial lamb and that she was going to be able to end, like, and protect her daughters and end the drama and the feuding between the brothels. And it just didn't work out like that. And mm-hmm, she made a unilateral decision because she didn't include Will in it. She didn't include anyone. She just said, on her own, I'm going to confess to this. And she thought she was doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Will was like, well, why? Why are you doing this? Because you've now put a burden not only on Lucy, who still doesn't know, by the way.
Right.
Right, because they've drugged her. But now you've put it on Charlotte and Jacob. They have no mom. You're robbing them of you.
Yeah.
You're robbing me of you. And I thought that was so telling. I was like, you know, you can't be selfish. Like, I get you're trying to do something, but it's in vain at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's in vain.
Yeah, and I think it was great for him to point out this is kind of bigger than you. You know, mm-hmm, while you're doing it for noble reasons, think about your children and think about the effect this could have. And when she said, like, you know, just he can just forget about me. And
yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, and he was like, no, I don't want him to. I want him to know you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot. It
and
was
why
heavy.
Do you think Nance lied to her in the beginning, saying that, oh yeah, Lucy's in shock too, like, when she wasn't able to get a hold of Lucy? Do you think it's because she was trying to protect Margaret?
I think she was trying to give her a sense of peace that she did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she didn't want her to potentially go into her death with a regret that, like, Lucy, we don't even know where she is.
Yep.
She doesn't even know that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's not protected. And the whole reason that Margaret decided to turn herself in was to protect Lucy. So I think that's kind of why Nance was like, I'm going to keep this from her so that she won't be too devastated when she, you know, goes out.
Yeah. And what I thought was interesting, too, is we learned in this episode that I know Nance and Margaret have been friends for a long time, but I didn't know that they were childhood friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. And I also think that in this episode, in my mind, Nance, I think, was in love with her. I think Nance is a lesbian and has always been in love with Margaret. Because when they kissed.
Yes, the kiss.
I was like, well, where is this coming from? And then when she said in this episode that you are all I have.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of something I said in our previous show where she was like, you, and it's like you and me against the world. And they run to each other and they protect each other. I was like, this makes sense. And I think that Nance is in love with Margaret and has always been in love with her.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. And I kind of had similar thoughts, especially when I saw the kiss and knowing that harlots has been, you know, sexuality has been kind of fluid for a few of the harlots. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really surprise me that Nance may have deeper feelings for mm-hmm. Margaret. And the kiss was definitely more than like a sisterly peck.
It was not a sisterly peck at all.
Yeah, you could feel the sparks. Yeah. So I agree with you there that the feelings could be under the surface.
Yeah, for sure. I think they bubbled to the surface. What did you think of Lydia going to... So in this episode, and we're going to move on to Lydia shortly, but Lydia visiting Margaret specifically and trying to end the feud mm-hmm. with her death, as well as get Charlotte back as her daughter.
I think, you know what? It was clear to me that Lydia kind of did care about Charlotte in her own warped, like, evil villain kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew that she was gonna go rub it in her face just one more time and kind of, you know, be the manipulative character that we've come to know in her conversation with Margaret. And I love one of the things that Margaret told her, actually, that I'm considering for our quote, is that she said, "Thank you for ensuring my last laugh was a hearty one. Soon I'll be dead, and you will still be more putrid. I can't say this word. Sorry, guys. Putrid than I." And I was just like, oh, I just love it. Like, it was just a stinger. And, yeah, that conversation had a lot going on.
It did have a lot going on. But I'm still with Lydia. And let's move on to Lydia as well as we transition from Margaret Nansen. Well, Lydia is a cockroach. I know I keep saying that, but she just always lands on her feet. And it's always bizarre to me. It's so always bizarre. But what I thought was interesting in this episode is how she was trying to make peace with everyone. So she was trying to make peace with Margaret. She was also trying to make peace with Emily. So the two houses that she's been warring with, she's like, well, let's just reconcile. Mm-hmm. Right? And I thought, I wonder what she's up to, because why all of a sudden you're trying to reconcile? Yes, one person is getting... is going to be killed, but with Emily, I guess because you think she's pregnant, carrying your grandbaby. I don't know, Lydia. I thought this episode was the worst and most evil I've seen her yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Like, her kind of making sure that Margaret was going to die was pretty cutthroat.
Making sure Margaret's going to die. And not releasing the virgin, basically saying, and her name is Abigail, making sure that Abigail is stuck in the life. And I was like, wow, you just have no shame whatsoever.
Yeah.
And who knows what she has in store for Lucy, because she's all drugged out, mm-hmm. whatever that they did with her. And she's really aligning with the evil lords.
Yes.
And I thought, you know what? That's about right, because you're just as evil as them.
She is. And she's power hungry, and they have all the power. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense for her character to kind of latch on to them, and all that evilness can fester.
Yeah. It's terrible. Terrible.
It is. It is.
I have a quote, first quote of the show, and it's Lydia. "If death is the worst thing that you can contemplate, you have not yet known suffering." And I was like, you know what? Wow.
That
sums up who you are and what you're really about.
It really does. And she's so bitter. And mm-hmm. I really just want to know more of her backstory. I know they touched on it a little bit about her relationship with her father, but like, what exactly happened to her to make her the woman she is today? Mm-hmm. Because she's pure evil.
All the way. 100. Like, 100. So what did you think of Lord Fitz wanting her to lie for him about Lord Fallon? So we know that she goes to the court mm-hmm. and she lies. And what did you think of that? And what did you think her reasoning was behind it, besides trying to align with them?
I'm still a little unsure of exactly her reasoning, outside of wanting to be connected to the power source and the mm-hmm. people that she feels will give her the best position in life. But I'm not surprised at all that they asked her to do that mm-hmm. because they know that she's just as evil as them. Mm-hmm. They know that she wants to control everything and she wants power. And I'm sure they had 100% confidence that, like, I think they think they can manipulate and kind of use her.
Yeah.
And I don't think they know just how manipulative she really is.
I mean, she's still stabbing guys. Like, think about it. Yeah, she holds people's secrets.
Mm-hmm.
She runs a brothel, and she's always able to get powerful people in her corner. So, I mean, if I were these lords, I'd be a little, like...
Yeah.
Almost fearful. Because
they should.
I know that they're undermining her because she's a woman
mm-hmm.
and a brothel owner, but... Lo and behold, you don't know what she has up her sleeve.
Hello.
What about telling our viewers a little bit more about our network?
So, guys, there's lots of dramatic TV shows like Harlots that we cover here on AfterBuzz TV, and we produce after shows for nearly all of them, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help, guys. We're asking for you to please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't worry, because they are optional. They're optional. You can opt out. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments. We'll thank you on air. We love to hear that. We'll shout you out. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes.
That's right, guys.
Guys, we love hearing from you. And especially in the comments, I learned so much. And I feel so bad because I didn't write names down from last week. But someone corrected me with not... calling him, it's not Money Boy.
Oh,
it's,
yes, I did see that.
Yeah, and now I can't think of what it is actually really called.
Molly. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up again, guys, and thank you for letting me know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, people really were upset last week that we didn't address the kiss, and so we're gonna address it now, because the one in the opening parts of the show, we see Charlotte and Lady Fitz. And it's obvious that they spent the night together
yes.
at the brothel, and they're kissing again. And I thought, we had some predictions, and we had some viewers think that perhaps Charlotte and Lady Fitz were related somehow and all of that. So
I hope not.
Well, I guess they're not now, though. I mean, if they're yeah. spending the night together... It can't be.
Yeah.
It can't be.
I don't think...
I mean, anything is possible, but it please, is. It can't be.
I mean, we already have one incest situation going on the show, so I just hope and pray that we don't have another, because I think that would be a little too much. I believe that they're probably not related.
Yeah, I'm going with that, too.
Yeah.
So do you think that, like, I think that they spent the night together?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I think... you know, and Charlotte mentioned that this is a friend of hers, and this is certain things that, you know, can happen with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she wanted, after hearing her story, which was so tragic, she wanted to give her some kind of light or some kind of happiness and show her that, first of all, there is sexuality outside of rape, which you experience with your brother, and there's also happiness that you can have. And mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what Charlotte was giving her, and that's why she was like, hey, you know, you don't have to pay me for this.
Right.
This is all good. This is what friends do.
Which I thought was odd that she's like, should I offer you payment? Like, shut up.
Right. Like, girl, you know.
You know you don't want to.
You know that was the real deal.
Right. You know you're falling in love with this girl. Calm down. Stop that. What I thought was also interesting about Lady Fitz, Lord Fitz, Charlotte, is that I don't understand. They just introduced her daughter like we knew who Sophia was.
Yeah. I was like, who's this random girl?
I was like, wait a minute. So when Charlotte goes to see Lady Fitz and says, hey, I need your help. You need to help my mom. And then Lady Fitz says, no, I need your help too. You need to help my daughter. And then when she casually said, oh, does Lord Fitz know about Sophia? I was like, I don't know about Sophia.
Right. Like, who is she?
I'm just hearing her name for the first time. Can I get a backstory?
Like, yeah, what? And for some reason, I was expecting her to be a lot younger. Like,
way younger.
I didn't know she was a grown woman. I thought she was like,
woman.
Because they said, oh, she's a girl. She's in boarding school.
Right.
I was like, oh, she's probably like 10, 12 at the oldest. She's like a full grown up, guys. Like,
full grown up.
Full adults.
Yeah, and you could tell that she, the boarding school is like a ritzy boarding school
because yes.
she had that air about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was an interesting idea to have Will go and play like he's a, I think they said like a slave or whatever.
Yeah.
And he had to go get her. I was like, well, that's why. Why Will and why?
And why does he have to be exactly like a slave?
Yeah, why can't he just be himself?
It was very odd. But maybe because in that times.
The slave picked up the kids?
I get, or maybe because maybe she couldn't go with a black man without him being a servant or a slave of some, you know, because they might think that's scandalous. Maybe. That's literally the only explanation I can think of.
Viewers, if you guys have a better explanation, please do let us know in the comments, because I thought that part was ridiculous. And then Lord Fitz is also showing us how conniving he can be. And so when he went and saw Lydia and was like, basically, what is my sister's secret? Man. And Lydia was so free to tell him.
I know.
Like, what did you get out of that? Yes, you're aligning with him, but what else did you get out of that? Because normally, it's a quid pro quo in her situation. She always wants something back. This was her just being evil.
Yeah.
And then when he brought his sister to like the nut house and was basically bedlam. And basically,
oh,
like,
man,
you're either going to tell me your secret or I'm going to send you here. And then Lydia again is like, yeah, you know what? You should send her there and take out Charlotte while you're at it.
It was just pure. It was purely evil.
She
and
was
like
being evil. That's what I was saying. This is the most evil I've seen her yet.
Yeah. And normally her evilness is kind of strategic. Like she gets something out of it. And I also wondered, why would you just give that up so freely? You've been holding this blackmail. Clearly this woman is, the daughter is like 20 or at least. She's a grown woman. So you've been holding this blackmail, this secret for so long, using it as leverage and trying to get up in society. And then you just offer it up freely with
For nothing.
Nothing in exchange for it.
I mean, that's what I just said. I think it's ridiculous.
And now it's not a secret, you know?
And not only is it not a secret, but she doesn't realize that, and I'm spoiling a little bit from my predictions, but he's her dad.
Yeah.
So when he said, he said to Lord Lidington, I want you to go pick up my niece. He knew, I could see in his face that he knew it wasn't his niece, it was like your daughter niece.
Oh gosh, daughter. So disgusting.
How does it even work? But whatever, it's gross. It's gross.
It is, it's really disturbing, and I just think Lydia wasn't being her, I think in her mind she felt she was being smart by aligning with them, but I don't see the end game. I really don't, giving that up.
Yeah, neither do I. Neither do I. Let's move on to Lucy. We didn't see a whole lot of Lucy this episode, but what made me mad was her lying for her man and not realizing that you basically just killed your mom by doing that.
Exactly. I'm so, like, I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt throughout this season, but I'm really over her behavior. I think she's too smart for this. I think she should know better. And how are you going to so easily go against your family and your blood for a guy?
Right.
Like, I just don't. A guy who you know is evil.
And dangerous.
And dangerous. Yeah. It's not like she doesn't know these things. Yeah. So why are you throwing your whole family away and, you know, your mother dying? I mean, she doesn't know that that would be the repercussion, but still.
Yeah, mother dying and Amelia's potential killer, because he tried to kill her, is set free.
Yeah.
Just, you have basically screwed everything up.
Everything
that your mom has done, you've made it for in vain, basically.
She does. And I remember wondering, like, Lucy, you know Amelia. You know, you have a relationship with her. Don't you care that this man who you're involved with may have killed her? I mean, if it were me and it was a guy I was seeing and he may be a killer, I don't think I'm going to be associated until, you know, we find out for sure he's a killer. And if my mother is telling me, I think I would go with my mom. Like, hey, he probably is a killer.
Yeah. I think that some of it is that royalty lifestyle that she's living. I think it's getting to her head a little bit. And she's forgetting that, you know what? You're still a harlot and you're his mistress. You're not his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So this like fancy attitude that you have right now, you need to like take it down and, you know, be humble. Like,
yeah, remember
Kendrick
your place.
Would say, be humble.
Remember your place, Lucy.
Jeez.
Gosh.
But I have a couple of quotes. I'm laughing because I'm like, ooh, Kendrick just falls everywhere.
He does.
So my first quote is from Justice Hunt, when Justice Hunt is about to take the Lord in, and he says, will you dress or will you come as you are? I thought that was hilarious because he's in like his essentially pajamas for the right, time.
As he actually right, is.
And you just see the three justices looking at him like, what? I love that. And then my second quote is from Lucy when she says to Lord Fallon, "You are soft as a kitty's belly, Lord Fallon." He's like, do you really think that? Because you are delusional.
I just
if you
don't
think that he's like falling in love with you and is being all soft. And then when he put his head in her lap, I was like, you know what, you two.
Right? So you fed
know,
up.
I'm over you. Over you. Because I know it's going to happen and it's not going to end well. And you two are fooling no one.
Yes, I'm so over it. And that line really was like a killer. I just had to roll my eyes.
The kitten
like,
one?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, Lucy, you seriously, you cannot be this blinded by money, sex, and love. I just refuse to believe it.
For real, for real. And then the other thing I wanted to mention before we move on from Lucy is that a couple episodes ago, we saw her do drugs for the mm-hmm. first time. And I was wondering, like, how... So you're drinking with the lords as well as Lydia, and you allow them to drug you? Like... Girl, where is your mind?
Exactly. She's like, where is
your
not,
mind? Like, you're not being strategic at all.
She's not thinking smart at all. And she knows that Lydia is evil. Her mother's told her whole life. And you're just like, oh, well, my boyfriend wants to do it. So.
I like how you called her boyfriend.
I'll be down for that.
It's my boyfriend.
I think in her mind, that's what she thinks.
Like, I think so, too. Mm. All right, let's talk about Emily, Cherry, Harriet, and Charles. Charles is the laziest man I've ever, 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 ever seen.
Peak laziness.
Peak laziness. what did you think of Cherry wanting to go with Emily back to Charles's house?
Cherry's an interesting character. I still very much question where exactly her loyalties lie. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, initially she was a spy for Lydia.
Yeah, and she's now, a switch hitter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like,
now kinda, she's Emily's spy.
Right, but is she really?
But is she really, exactly.
I question her motives. I do.
And what did you think of when Lydia came? And again, we talked about this a little bit or mm-hmm. touched on it. Where Lydia came and wanted to make peace with Emily.
I think that was fake. I just can't see. I think Lydia's been, she's been in the game for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think she knows that, like, Emily's not really pregnant. Yeah. I don't know what her plan is, though. Like, mm-hmm. where is this all going, Lydia? I just don't know. But I think she knows that Emily is not pregnant, but she didn't want, she's trying to maintain some relationship with her son. And so she's like, oh, great, a grandchild and live with me. We'll be a big, happy family. And mm-hmm. she has to know that's not going to work.
I mean, I know it's not going to work. Yeah. I can tell you that right now. I have a quote from Lydia again. It is, if we allow it, this baby will be the oil that calms the water between us. And I was like, but 5 seconds ago, you just said a baby is a parasite sucking one's vitality. Exactly. And now you're saying this baby's going to be the oil and the glue that keeps you come.
Lydia, yeah, she's full
Lydia,
of it.
Seriously.
She's full
it.
Of it.
So she wants a truce with Emily. And what I thought was interesting is that once Emily and Charles went back to Golden Square, mm-hmm. you really have this exotic house run by three people of color.
I loved it.
And it's actually going to be an exotic house. And when Lydia called Harriet in, which is funny because the other thing I wanted to say, so Lydia asks Emily, you know, who's your best girl in the house? Mm-hmm. And Charles says Cherry.
Cherry.
And Emily looks at him like, stupid. No, it's not. So it's Harriet.
Duh.
So Harriet comes over and Lydia asks if she can read and write. Does she know her numbers to 100? And she's like, yeah, because we can't forget that she was like a household, not mistress, but she ran a household. She
yeah,
was married,
she was like the wife.
Lady of the house, mm-hmm. yeah. So she is, this is all new to her. So she knows the life. So when she said, yeah, I'm willing to run this house, but, you know, it's going to cost you.
Got to pay me first.
Right. I was like, oh, see.
Love her.
You guys are setting this up really good because I think that is going to be something to contend
yes.
with.
Yes. I'm so interested to see that storyline. I love that the people of color have a house mm-hmm. of their own that they control, and that the money that's coming in is going to be dispersed amongst them. I mean, I know Lydia's going to and Emily are going to have their hand. It's probably going to all blow up. But I just liked that it's kind of
set up.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's being set up. I love that.
Again, another quote for me for this episode was, Charles, you may have pricked the dough, but it's the baker that bakes the bread, Lydia. And I was like, that's really super funny. Really, it's really super funny.
Pretty hilarious.
And then Emily in this episode. So Emily knows that she's not pregnant.
Right.
And so she's like getting busy with Charles, and then she's getting busy.
I was like, all over the place. Oh,
you're really trying to get pregnant right now.
Oh, it was hilarious. And then when she told him wrong hole, I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. Like, she is so funny. Oh, thank God for her, like, right. bring some humor. Because if not, it would have been a very dark, sad episode.
Let's move on to Amelia, Mrs. Scanwell, Violet, and Justice Hunt. So, we didn't really see a lot about Amelia, but we did see that she woke up at the end of the episode, which I was happy about.
Yes.
And then Mrs. Scanwell, same thing. We didn't really see a lot of her, but what we did see was Violet really standing vigilant by Amelia's side. Mm-hmm. And we saw how happy she was when Amelia finally woke up. What were your thoughts on that whole thing?
I thought it was interesting that Amelia's mother, because, you know, she's not accepting this relationship mm-hmm. with Amelia and Violet, mm-hmm. but she still allowed Violet to kind of give that support mm-hmm. and watch over her, mm-hmm. knowing that the relationship is, quote unquote, illicit. So I kind of love to see that in a way her focus was on her daughter getting better and her mm-hmm. happiness, and not so much like, hey, Violet, you got to get out of here because this, I don't approve. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be interesting now that Amelia has awoken.
Right.
What she's going to remember, what she's going to say, yeah. how that's all going to play out. And yeah. it's the finale, so I know it's going to be crazy yeah. next episode. Yeah. I'm curious to see.
I mean, I wonder if she's going to implicate Lord Fallon.
I hope so.
Or she's going to be too, I mean, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Predictions. what I did think was interesting, too, in this episode was Mrs. Scanwell was the one that told Will about Margaret,
mm-hmm.
which again, I feel like there's a communication issue, and it was definitely a unilateral decision on Margaret's part. And the other part that was interesting to me was how Justice Hunt, it's almost like he's forming a family with Amelia and Mrs. Scanwell and Violet, because after he gets fired from his job,
mm-hmm.
right? From the Lord Justice, he goes back to them.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they're staying at his house, but, like, he goes back to them, like, that's just a support.
I think he's very much and very deep with the family, mm-hmm. even though, you know, he claims that,
yeah.
oh, you guys are no good because yeah. of your history.
Yeah.
But clearly that was BS, because here he is, like, fully immersed in the family, very much caring about Amelia and her recovery. Mm-hmm. And like you said, getting his support from them after losing his job. Mm-hmm. So clearly, Justice, those are your people.
Right, right. Because let's talk a little bit about the Justice and him being in court and him trying to basically convict Lord Fallon. Mm-hmm. And then we have a bunch of liars in there. And the Justice, like, I can't believe how much power Lydia actually holds. Like, he was basically going to pardon Margaret. And then Lydia comes and gives him a crazy idea, like, you know what? You can hang any day you want. So today can be the hanging day. I was like, you know what? This poor Justice Hunt is just trying to actually get justice.
Right.
And this dude is sleeping with this lady.
And letting her control the law.
For real.
I mean,
like, wow. That's the power.
Yeah, the power of the P.
Yeah, for real. I was like, that is some power.
And I feel for Justice Hunt, even though I feel like he's kind, you know, he's a little bit annoying with his mm-hmm. righteous to-do or whatever.
Right.
But I do think he's trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And he's encountering all of these setbacks from people above him who mm-hmm. are very much corrupt. And I'm sure, you know, it's very frustrating. And we see that play out, you know, in the ending of the episode and his actions.
Right. So this whole episode, I was like, they're not going to kill Margaret. They're not going to kill Margaret. Margaret's a main character. And then I thought of Game of Thrones and how they just kill anyone that yes. you're attached to. So I was like, what? Wait, are they going
to kill?
And then when the rope went around her neck and she's like, tell him to do it. And he was silent. And she was like, well, he's not going to do it if you don't tell him. And then when he nodded his head, my mouth fell. When I saw her hanging there, I was like, I cannot believe you guys. How dare you?
I know. I had the exact same. I was like, oh my God, they actually killed her. Like, I thought for sure, you know, I was going to be like, never mind, take the rope off. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And then they actually had her dangling, and I was like, oh my God, they really killed her. Like, this is it. She's gone.
Unbelievable. And then when he, you know, his conscience kicked in. And I really do believe that he thinks that she was trying to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when he saved her, I was like, oh, phew. Right?
I know.
But then when she, I think she wanted to die because when she said that it's basically no life without my family, mm-hmm. she didn't want to go to America. She wanted to be with her family. I think that somehow, okay, we're not going to do predictions quite yet, but... Margaret's not dead, and I'm happy about it.
Yes, I'm very happy to hear it and to see it, even though it nearly gave me a heart attack.
For real.
But I was very happy to see it. And one of my other major quotes came in at this time when the justice says, the law is ink placed on parchment by self-serving rich men. And I was like, oh,
true story.
Snaps. That is the truth.
Real talk.
The justice is speaking the realness. So I love that.
I think we should move on to Harlot of the Week. What do you think?
Yes, yes, let's do it. So, guys, we're going to get in Harlot of the Week. The character on Harlots that we felt was really, like, the shiner, the person that really stood out.
Mm-hmm.
And to start it off, this is going to might be a surprise, but I feel like it was... Actually, we're going to go with mine. Yeah, let's just go with yours.
So, mine was Emily. And why I thought Emily was the Harlot of the Week is she is now the new hope against Lydia. So, her moving back into Golden Square with Charles is going to be the new way that they try to take her down. And I also thought that this was a really, really heavy episode. And she was the comedic relief in this episode. So, I thought, you know what? She stole the show just because of some of the things that she was doing was making me laugh. Like, trying to get pregnant and sleeping around mm-hmm. everywhere and talking crazy to people. I was like, okay, she's my Harlot of the Week.
Yes, I loved her comedic timing. I think for me, I chose Charlotte. And, of course, anyone who's been watching these after shows knows that I love Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I chose her is because I felt like she was the character throughout the episode that was really trying to help her family. Mm-hmm. You know, she talked to Lady Fitz. She did what she could to help her mother. It didn't work, obviously. And then not only that, she also went to confront Lydia and the Lords about Lucy and making sure she was safe. And so I love to see her kind of putting that effort in to protect her family and do what mm-hmm. she can to, like, make things better when things are going so wrong.
Yeah. Although when she did go see Lydia and the Lords, she looked like she was scared of
them.
And she basically retreated. And then,
I'm sorry,
but you see your sister passed out on the couch with these three killers and you just walk away?
Uh-uh. I did feel that way a little bit because I was expecting a Charlotte snap. Because, you know, past episode, she's not afraid to, like, tell them what she thinks and, like, make moves. And I do think she was so shook up from, like, her mother dying.
That's the only...
That she had to retreat and kind of get herself back together. But I think the seeds are there. She's going to, like, find a way to get her sister out.
And let's hope. We have one more episode. Yeah. So let's see. So let's move into some Harlot history. And, you know, thanks so much, guys, for your feedback. I love doing this segment as well. So Harlot history this week, I wanted to talk about the five most famous madams in history. The first one, as we move forward, is... Elizabeth Cresswell. She's from London. She was born what they say is a commoner, and then she rose in social status to become one of the wealthiest, most independent female brothel owners of the 17th century in England. And she was so powerful that she was protected by King Charles II.
Wow. The come up is very real.
Yep. And our second one, number two, is Marguerite Gourdain and Justine Paris from Paris. Both were prostitutes and both were brothel owners. And then they decided that they were going to join forces to create the most famous brothel in the 18th century Paris. And fun fact, Casanova used their brothel as a setting for his memoirs.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Next, three is Ada and Mina Everly from Chicago. They were sisters, and they opened the Everly Club. And it was the most extravagant, successful brothel in America. It hosted millionaires, politicians, and royalty only.
Mm.
By the time the brothel was closed down, you can imagine for those times, both of these sisters were millionaires.
Wow. All mm-hmm. from the world's oldest profession, guys.
And number four is Tilly Devine from Australia. She's born in the 1900s. What was pretty badass about Tilly is that she became known as one of the most wanted crime lords in Australia. She was a thief, she was a drug owner, and she was the owner of most of the brothels in Sydney. So she wow. owned multiple brothels, but she was also on the run.
Wow, I love that. Yeah. A female business owner controlling it all. That's right. That's what I like to see.
Our fifth most famous madam is Lulu White from New Orleans. She's born in 1868. What was interesting about her is the public didn't know where she was from. They didn't know if she was from the U.S., Alabama, or if she was Jamaican, or if she was Cuban. They couldn't figure out where she was from, and she was able to use that in order to, like, be exotic at the time. And she started in porn pictures. So because she was considered so exotic at the time, she would do porn pictures. And then from that money, she established the Mahogany Hall. And her Mahogany Hall is like Emily and now Harriet's brothel. It was all exotic prostitutes.
Mm, that's right. Get some diversity going. So I was like,
okay, wait a minute. So Harlots is pretty true to history that these things actually really existed. So I thought that was kind of a great parallel.
Yeah. I love to see and learn about, you know, some of the really boss
ladies
in the I was thinking Harlots like, history.
Wait, so... Because you know how there was prohibition and, like, the men were making all their money back in the day mm-hmm. with, like, alcohol and tobacco. And I was like, oh, and now the women, they were making a lot of their money, you know, prostituting. Good for you for, like, flipping it.
Yeah.
And creating wealth, right?
You know, hey, can't hate the game.
Let's move on to our last, my quote of the show. So I know that we gave a bunch of quotes.
Mm-hmm.
So my quote of the show is from Margaret. And she said, there's no hope for me without my family. And aww. I was like, you know what? I get you. Family's so important to me, too. So I get you, Margaret. I get you.
Yeah, that definitely is the feels. For me, it's actually a quote that I mentioned earlier just because I felt like it was so real to that time and also our time today is that law is ink placed on parchment by self-serving rich men. And, you know, a lot of times that can be the case. And law does not apply to everyone.
Equally.
And we've seen that so often in our culture and our society today.
I mean, we say this on the show all the yeah. time. History repeats itself over and over and over again. We just have to look at it.
Yes, it really does.
Let's move on to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz
TV. Predictions. All right, you're up.
Okay, predictions. I think that Margaret is not going to America. I think she's going to find a way to escape. I don't know if she's going to have help or not, but I do think that they're not going to just ship her off. Now that they haven't killed her, I think she's coming back for season three. I think that's a guarantee. I also think that... I think they're going to try to save Lucy. I don't know if it's going to work. Because I don't really know what Lydia's plan is, so it's kind of hard to predict what's going to happen with that situation. Mm-hmm. But I think they're not going to be able to save her this season. I think it's going to require a few more episodes next season to really see her come out of that fog and out of the hands of these killers. And I think, yeah, that's my major predictions. And I do also think that Amelia is going to expose the Lord mm-hmm. and hopefully... I want to see at least one of the bad guys go down the finale.
For real.
Be Lord Fitz, it could be Lydia, it any, could be of anyone, any of them. They all, one of them needs to go because they're untouchable and I'm over
real,
it.
For real. Let the good guys win once in a while, yeah. Not the evil all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, Amelia, I think, is going to make a full recovery. I think that she is going to work with Justice Hunt to bring the Lords down, and I think that she's going to be able to, it's going to be like a domino effect. She's going to be able to bring Lord Fallon down, and everyone else is going to, like, Lord Lyddington and Lord Fitz. So I think that that's going to be, she's going to start the ball rolling, but I think that she's not going to be the only one. I think finally people are going to see these guys are evil and we need to take them down, and, like, Emily will come to their aid and Nance will come to their aid, and I think that that's going to happen. Now, do I think it's going to happen next episode? Nope. But I think that it's going to happen soon. As far as Emily, I think that Lydia has evil plans for Emily. And I think having her, like you said, I think Lydia has been around the way and she knows that Emily's not pregnant. So what she's doing is getting Emily back in the house. And she's going to have Emily locked in a room somewhere. And it's going to be all kinds of wrong for her. Mm. Right? Because she still tried to kill Emily.
Yes.
Right? So that there's that.
And Lydia doesn't forget.
Yeah. I think Lucy, I agree with you. I think Lucy's in dire situation right now. I think that something bad's going to happen to her next episode, the last episode, and they're going to leave us hanging till season 3. Mm-hmm. And, like, dire.
Yes.
I hope she doesn't die. I don't want that to be my prediction, but it's going to be something in that direction. I think that Lady Fitz and her daughter are going to come into some problems with Lord Fitz. And I think that her daughter is going to come to her rescue.
Oh, that would be great. Mm-hmm. I want some happiness for Lady Fitz.
Yeah. So those are my predictions, guys. We love hearing from you. Shout out to everyone that has left comments on our YouTube page. We love hearing and we respond. And I wanted to give you a shout out. I didn't write the names down, but I will have it next week. Guys, Linda Antwi, all across social media. You can find me at Linda Is So Girly. Hit me up.
Guys, it's Mariel Turner. You can find me on all social at Mariel _Turner.
Till next week, guys. See ya. Yeah. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.